Welcome back in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have a fantastic show to share with you today. An epic story, a timeless story. Guarantee that you are familiar with this. And joining us to talk about this is the actor playing the title role in the show, Alan Hasness. He, of course, is here to speak with us about King Lear, which is playing now through August 25th at the John Colum Stage at the American Theater of Actors. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting americantheaterofactors.org. We love a great Shakespeare play. We love a great Shakespeare tragedy. And I don't know that it gets any better than King Lear. I mean, I think Macbeth and The Tempest might rival it, but what an amazing, amazing saga King Lear is. So with that, let's go ahead and welcome on our guest, Alan. Alan, welcome in to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. I'm so excited we're talking King Lear. I cannot believe that it's been 600 and something episodes, and this is one of the great Shakespeare plays I've yet to have the privilege to talk about. So this is exciting.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Why don't we start first by having you tell our listeners, in case they're not aware of, what is King Lear about?
Well, okay, so it's a mouthful. Well, ostensibly, it's almost like a little bit of a soap opera, family soap opera. The king decides he's had enough of kinging. He wants to go enjoy the rest of his life. He's, you know, late 60s, in the play's actually in the 80s, but I'm playing in the 60s. And he turns over his kingdom to his three daughters. And he has, as he turns them over, he says, you know, I'm going to divide this up. How much do you love me? And they each give a speech. Two of them flatter him, and the third one really does love him, tells him the truth, says, I love you, but you know, you're not the be all and end all. I'm gonna have a husband, I gotta love him too. I get very insulted by this, and I disown her, even though she's my favorite. And that leads to a cascading effects of tragedy and events that are tragic. Actually, the two daughters are very duplicitous that he gives them to. He sets it up so that he can go to those two daughters anytime he wants with 100 knights to be housed by them. They understandably are not happy about that, and they give him a hard time and they insult him. And he starts to go out of his mind because he realizes what a big mistake he made. And, you know, I always think between Shakespeare and Seinfeld, I don't know if you're a Seinfeld fan, all of human behavior is covered. And there's one Seinfeld episode where Kramer's talking to Seinfeld, and Jerry says, you're crazy. And Kramer says, am I, or am I so sane? You just blew your mind. It's impossible. Is it so possible your head is spinning? Jerry, it can't be. Kramer, can't it? Or is your entire world crashing down all around you? Well, that's what happens to King Lear. And he has a fool, which the fool kind of mimics what's in the back of your mind. When you've done things that, you know, something's telling you this isn't quite right, that's your subconscious. He's kind of telling me all that stuff. And what happens is I have, you know, I go crazy. I'm so distraught with guilt over how I treated my third daughter and the fact that I'm no longer in power. I don't have any sway whatsoever. My whole life, my ass has been kissed my whole life. And now I'm on my own. And what happens after that? And there's also a subplot of Gloucester. There's a Duke of Gloucester has two sons. One's legitimate, one's a bastard in those terms for that time. And they have a subplot. Edmund goes about turning his brother against his father and results in Gloucester having his eyes gouged out. So that's basically, well, that's kind of the show, how it runs. And as you can see, it's not exactly a comedy, but there are some humorous moments and some humorous moments in there. But it's really about the travel that I take as Lear from someone who thinks I'm the be-all and end-all, and I realize I'm not. And it also, there's some interesting takes in there. I have some interesting speeches that talk about how the justice system is stacked to some extent also. He does get into that in some speeches. And the hypocrisy and how people will flatter you and how, you know, take people, famous actors, famous politicians, people who have their whole lives, they're given, everything's been given to them. And then they realize, maybe I'm not all that. So that's not exactly a concise statement, but that's what I think it's about.
I think that's a brilliant summation of this work. It's such a dynamic piece. There's so many levels to it. So I'm curious to know, how is it that you came upon this production?
Well, I've been working with James Jennings at the American Theatre of Actors for about 20 years now. And let me give a little plug to that place. It's got three theaters. And if you want to act, it's like an acting gymnasium. You can act, you can write if you want to write, and you can direct. They always have stuff going on. And James is always encouraging people to come there. And it's like a workout. And I never did Shakespeare before, but back in 2005, I auditioned there. He gave me a chance to do King Claudius and Hamlet. And from there, I've been doing different parts. And he's given me a chance to do some of the great roles in Shakespeare. And you learn so much by doing Shakespeare. You also learn what the plays are about, because if you have to memorize your Shakespeare, you get used to what's being said, and you start to understand what he's talking about. And what's vital about it for me, not only is it when you understand that, yes, it becomes really, really interesting and thought-provoking the way it's written, but you get to understand the relationships and the characters. And for me as an actor, I need to know what my relationship is to the person, places, and things and events in my scene to be really able to act. Otherwise, I'm acting in a vacuum. And I came to this, I didn't want to do this because it's, you know, I'm still working full time and it's a lot of memorization to be done. But James a couple times asked me, and I'm glad he did, because it is a great, great role. And so I came to it because James asked that I would do it. And I said, if you could give me 3 or 4 months to memorize, I'm there.
That is amazing. I love that. So at the time of this recording, the run has already begun. It's got about 4 or 5 days left, 4 or 5 performances. So I'm curious, what has it been like developing this iconic role and this production?
Well, it's been fascinating, actually, and interesting, because every time you do it and you work, first of all, I think the actors, it's a great ensemble. We have some really good actors in this production, really solid. And so it's fascinating as you go through to each time you go through a scene. Well, yeah, that's what he's talking about there. That's what this really means here. As I said before, I found stuff in the way when I go crazy and I'm talking to this scene where I'm talking to Edgar and Gloucester, and Edgar has a line something like, basically like, yeah, there's reason mixed in with his madness. That's not the Shakespeare quote. But I'm saying things that actually have some point to it that Shakespeare is making. And finding those things have been very interesting to me. And I've been enjoying doing that. And just getting a chance to say the words after having memorized, well, knowing the lines. It's another, the way I work, you know, it's one thing to memorize lines, you know, but then you still have to look in your mind's eye to be able to say them. You can't be present to what's going on in the scene. But once I know the lines, then it becomes fun, because then once you work off your other actors, you can start to see where this takes you.
I love that thought. Absolutely love that thought. And actually, I want to snowball off some of the stuff you said, because I'm curious to know, with these great, great lines of dialogue, with these great ideas, is there a message or a thought you're hoping the audiences take away from this production?
Yeah, that, well, I don't know that I could say in particular. Hopefully everyone finds something, it hits them a certain way. I think there's a lot of elements in there. And if we do our job properly, different people will be hit by different things. The things that come to my mind are, well, you know, and thing about Shakespeare is he is timeless. You know, all the things he talked about then politically and morally and the way people live fit today. So, for instance, you know, you could take, and I'm not taking any sides at all on any political issue here, but all politicians or all people who are famous, they're so insulated from the real world that they really think they could do whatever they want and it's justified. They could be hypocritical and it doesn't even bother them because whatever I say goes. And the realization that there are, that happens, and also that you can make a mistake. You can make a bad mistakes can be made. Yeah, that can happen. That could affect your lives. And that the way power, how does power actually work? Where does it actually lie? That's kind of what hits me a little bit with this piece. As I said, there's so much more to it. Hopefully when somebody watches it, it'll hit them in different ways.
I really, really love that thought. I think you are spot on. There's a reason why Shakespeare continues to be done and continues to be so versatile in the way that it's done because it is timeless. It's insane how human nature just keeps repeating itself. Well, that leads me to my final question for this first part, which is, who are you hoping have access to your production of King Lear?
Well, this is what I would say. I would hope everyone would want to come see it, but I'd have to say this. For those who are Shakespeare fans, please come see it. It is a good production. There is some really good acting. But people who are not familiar with Shakespeare, I would say come see it, but please read a detailed synopsis because it is almost like another language. If you just have a little bit of an idea of what's going on in each scene, then you can follow it and then you can get the cleverness of what's being written. So I would hope everyone would come see it with the proviso that if you're not a Shakespeare fan, or you don't know the play, read a detailed synopsis. That will make all the difference in the world.
Our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I would love to start by asking you our regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Well, there's a lot there. I would have to say I have to go to movies, 2001 A Space Odyssey. I saw it when I was 11 years old, and that really blew my mind, I guess you could say. That's one of the greatest, I think, whether you think it's the best film ever made, I think it's one of the greatest achievements in film. And that really had a profound impact on me. I love that movie. I also think that Lawrence of Arabia is a great film too. Most of my touchstones are films. Mostly, I haven't gone to the theater too much, but I do Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, King Lear, Hamlet, Henry V. Those are to me great, great theater, obviously. I also have to when I was I saw something called A Drowsy Chaperone about 15 years ago. And I was blown away by the choreography. They were going on roller skates. If one person was in the wrong spot by a split second, everything falls apart. And I was amazed by that. Same thing with Noises Off, the choreography, how everyone has to be at the right spot at the right time. I found that to be quite an amazing thing. But mostly, I guess I thought David Mamet's Glengarry Glen Ross is a very interesting play that's done too. So I'm sure there probably are others too at this point, Andrew, but they're not quite coming up to my mind. And one other one too, I mentioned. I'm not a Not a big musical theater fan, but I think that My Fair Lady is a masterpiece there. Not only is it great music and great theater, but the story it tells is very interesting also, I think. And it's not necessarily a happy ending that you see. So I think that's a good piece. And one other thing I'll bring this up too, this music. One of my favorite songs is Taxi by Harry Chapin, because it's not only, a beautiful song, but the story it tells it very a complete story from beginning to end. And I thought that that's an interesting piece of writing and music.
I love that list. That is a fantastic list, though. Some wonderful, wonderful names and titles that you've listed there. That's fantastic. Let me ask you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
It's fun. It's just fun. When you, it's a little bit, if I am clear on my relationship to the person, places, and things in my scene, and I know my line so well, I don't have to think about it. And then it's almost like, I'm not a surfer, but I would imagine as you get on a surfing board, you hit a wave, and it just takes you and you go about it. And it's just a lot of fun to do that. If I may, I'd like to give a little plug to one of my instructors from a while back, Tim Phillips. If anyone has a chance to study with Tim Phillips, I would advise it. He gives you a real nuts and bolts approach to acting. Some people, everyone, acting is so personal. It's so different for everyone. And I would put it this way. Some people, you know, you get a prefabricated house, you don't need anything more. Some actors, they're doing instinctual and they got it. But if one of those struts breaks in that house, how do you fix it? So if you're not sure how to do it, something's not working for you, how do you fix it? I learned in that class those basics to fix it if it happens. And to me, again, it comes down to your relationship between person, places, and things and events in the scene. To me, that's vital. Other people have different ways. That's the other thing about acting. It's a science, but it's also an art. There are guidelines, but the art of it is some guidelines work for some people, they don't work for others. And so it's a process that way.
I love that answer. That is such a great answer. And to begin with, it's fun. Absolutely. That's why they call them plays, because we get to play and have fun.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I'll tell you, I will say, if you know, it's scary if you don't know your lines or if you don't know what your relationship is to people, then you're acting in a vacuum and it gets very nerve-wracking. But once you, for me, once I got those things worked out, then it becomes fun.
I love that. Well, that leads to my favorite question to ask guests, which of course is, what is your favorite theater memory?
There's a funny one I have. So I'm playing, I believe I have this correct, the character Talbert in Henry VI, Part One. And it's an outdoor theater. And the person playing the king and the bishop, they go out for a smoke because they're not on stage. But the door locks at a certain time. So keep that in mind. And then at one point, my Talbert gets killed with a sword. I get hit, I go off stage, and I have set up a bloody rag that has duct tape on it. So all I have to do is put it on my body. I come back in with the gash showing. And I tell people, please, don't sit here. It's got duct tape on it. Okay, so first, I get stabbed. I go off stage, and it's not there. The rag's not there. And I ask some people to help me find it. And three actors are looking around for it, can't find it. Fine, I go back on stage. I'll go on stage, and then after I die, I come off, and I notice one of the guys that was helping me look for the rag has it on his butt. So he's walking around on stage with that rag on his butt. And at the same time, you see the king and the bishop jumping over the wall, the outside of the wall of the theater, to get into the scene. So that's something I find to be a fun little memory. The other thing I would just say is, you know, having done the part, you know, and feeling like it was a good run. We had a good run of a show. And, I feel good about that, too.
I love those. That is an amazing story. I love that. That is the kind of theater memory I love. That, like, hijinks. You couldn't even write this if you tried. It's so good. That's amazing. Thank you for that.
Yeah, live theater. You know, live theater.
There's nothing like it. Right. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know if our listeners would like more information about King Lear or about you. Maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
Well, I guess if they wanted to reach out to me, my email address would be my name, A as in Apple, A Hassness. A as in Apple, H as in Harry, A as in Apple, S as in Sam, N as in Nancy, A as in Apple, S as in Sam, @ earthlink.net. You can reach me there. I think also I have a website. You can see some of my work at alanhasness.com. For King Lear, it is at the American Theater of Actors. It's located on 54th Street and 8th Avenue. And we will be appearing Wednesday through Saturday, 7 p.m. start, Sunday, 3 p.m. start. And you could get your tickets online too, I believe. So I think pretty much is it, I would say.
Wonderful. Well, Alan, thank you so, so much for taking the time to speak with me, for sharing this amazing show. Like I said, who does not love King Lear? What a brilliant story. And thank you so much today for your time. I really appreciate it.
Andrew, thank you very much. You've been a terrific host, Travis.
thank you so much.
Thank you.
My guest today has been the actor playing the title role of King Lear, Alan Hassness. He's currently starring in the production of King Lear that's playing now through August 25th at the John Cullum Stage at the American Theater of Actors. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting americantheaterofactors.org. We also have some contact information for Alan, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But seriously, run, don't walk. See this production before it closes later on this weekend. It's a brilliant production, and it's an amazing epic drama of Shakespeare's. Again, the show is King Lear, playing now through August 25th. And we want to add for our American listeners that Election Day is November 5th. Make sure you are registered, that you have a plan to cast your ballot and do your Democratic duty. You can find out how and where you can register to vote by visiting vote.gov. The future demands that we fight for it now. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.